We've been studying about midnight Bible stories, and last week we began one that will take us eventually to Acts 12, the midnight Bible story of Peter and his escape from prison. But before we get to that point, I want you to turn to Luke 5. We're going to start there. We're doing some background on Luke. Luke was one of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Our apostle Paul was one of 8 church apostles. So I need 2 volunteers to pass out again my handout, and these are different. You're going to have more, Alex. And if you need one of these pieces of information on who those apostles are, take the sheet, and then some of the scriptures are there. And I know there's those on the internet like Jim Anderson who will hear this, and I can't pass it out to him here in class. But if you'll email me, I will get that same information to you, and I know he will. Okay, now go to the 5th chapter of Luke. We're going to read the first 11 verses again, and then we'll continue picking up where we left off last time with our thoughts. If you miss out on any of these lessons, you can listen to them on the internet. Usually they're put on by Monday. And you can also read the notes, which are put on the internet after we finish each section here. Let's read Luke 5, 1 through 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, and him is Jesus here, as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, what a wonderful thing. The word of God preaching the word of God. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. This is also called the Sea of Tiberias and the Sea of Galilee. It's the same place. And he saw 2 ships standing by the lake. We'd probably call them fishing boats, because that's what they were. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. That's another name for Peter. Peter has 3 names in Scripture. We went over this. One of them is Peter. One of them is Simon, or Simon bar Jonah, Simon. And then the other one is Peter and Cephas. Did I say Cephas? I don't remember. Simon, Cephas, and Peter, okay? He's talking about Peter here, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he, Jesus, sat down and taught the people out of the ship. But Peter was in the ship. Was his Peter's boat. And when he had left speaking, Jesus, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. And we're professionals here. We're professional fishermen. We know what we're doing. These thoughts probably went through Peter's mind. We know this lake like the back of our hand, right? Yeah, right. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. That's different than what Jesus instructed him to do. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. One translation is their net began to tear. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Now, was Jesus trying to sink their boats? I don't think so. Thank you. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, James. There's a lot of lessons here. We'll get to these. Just think about it. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, the list of disciples or apostles of the Lamb, part of them are listed here. The rest are on the sheet. We'll get to that in a later lesson, I think, Lord willing. But on at his last night here on earth with his apostles in John 15:5, Jesus told them something that this is a bit of information that they could have used that night. "I am the vine," John 15:5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." And note this part, "For without me ye can do nothing." Yeah, Peter, you might have been a great fisherman, but without me, you didn't catch any fish. We mentioned this last week. Without the Lord, Peter never caught anything on his own when fishing. With the Lord, he always caught fish. Without Jesus and Peter and the others, they had caught nothing, proving what we just read to be true, that without me, you can do nothing. And so we know that what the scripture records, that Peter only caught fish with the help and assistance of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, he said he'd make them fishers of men. Well, they never caught any men until after they received the infilling, the power of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And we'll talk about that a little more too. So concerning this fishing lesson in Luke 5, our Apostle Paul wrote some instructions that Peter, really he could have used at this time, but we're far advanced, aren't we? Not really, but we do have some more scriptures. And go to Colossians 3:23 and 3:24. And we left off with this last week after the bell rang. And this is what Paul wrote. And this is good instructions. And it's something that I was taught before I ever went to work. And no matter where I worked, I always took this to heart, Colossians 3:23. "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." I remember helping a plumber on one of my dad's houses. And, that's going to be fun, helping a plumber, all right. He handed me a shovel and says, "Here, I need a trench from here to here." Okay. Well, that wasn't what I envisioned, but that's what it was. My job was, and I knew I should do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. Verse 24, "Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." the function of that, my digging, was to put in a sewer drain. Well, it had to be done right. It had to be, nobody's ever going to see it again, right? But the Lord knew. But it was too bad Peter didn't know that piece of scripture, because if he would have, perhaps we would have seen a little more enthusiasm in Peter responding to Jesus' request to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, here's something we're probably not all that familiar with, the terminology, a draught. But Jesus was telling Peter to cast your nets, plural, into the deep for a great haul. A great haul. Peter understood that part of it. For a great haul. If you want to think of it like this, an exceeding abundant, above all you could ask or think, bounty of fish. So again, reading in Luke 5:5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. This statement, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net, is really a statement of faith. How so, you might ask? Well, Peter was a fisherman. He was a ship captain. He was at this present time discouraged by the fruitless efforts of his own works, having caught nothing at all the night before. But in a kind of a subtle way, Peter had here relinquished the control of his ship over to a new captain, Captain Jesus. And Captain Jesus had directed Peter to launch out into the deep and to let down your nets for a draught, for a great bounty. That was in Luke 5:4. Peter had followed these instructions of Captain Jesus and was at the point of dropping overboard a net because Jesus had requested him to do so. Faith is not sight. Anybody ever gone fishing? You ever seen the fish before you caught them? Probably not. Well, why fish there? Why bother? Do you know there's fish there? Well, no, not really. But probably, the probabilities are that there's fish there or we wouldn't be fishing there. But we haven't seen them. So you really fish by faith, don't you? You get on an airplane by faith, too. And a lot of people couldn't do that. And I had to deal with some people. They come on and they says, I had one guy in Washington, D.C. get on my airplane, come up, and he had a notebook, 3 pages long of questions to ask me. He says, I'm afraid of flying. Right off the bat, I'll tell you that. And I went to a school, a 12-hour school put on by, I don't know, one of the airlines, how to get over my fear of flying. And one of the things they asked me to do was to introduce myself to the pilot. So I says, okay. And I says, well, you picked a great day to be flying. Of course, he didn't believe me. And I went through and answered all his questions. And me and the guy I was flying with, we answered all his questions. And he went to look for his seat and got about as far as the entry door and left and decided it was better to take the train up to New York City. And I said, good luck, because I don't think they've had a train wreck in about 3 or 4 days now. So, you know, but at any rate, that was a whole other thing. But faith is not sight. And Peter couldn't see any fish. And so, and he fished all night, and he couldn't see a bounty of fish. He wasn't really, come on, Lord, a draught of fish. But he had been listening while he was in the boat to the words Jesus spoke. And he must have realized that the words Jesus spoke were indeed truth. Thus, Peter answered Captain Jesus, saying, "Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." One more time, just because Jesus had instructed him to do so. Now, keep in mind that Peter had not yet learned the facts that we know, found in Colossians 1, 16 and 17, things concerning Jesus. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 says this, "For by him," by Jesus, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist," just as David explained to us earlier this morning. In other words, Peter hadn't yet realized that Jesus was the one who created Lake Gennesaret, upon which Peter's ship was now floating. Jesus had created the wood that became Peter's ship. Jesus populated the lake with the fish Peter caught and made his living from. And Jesus had promised a great haul, a draught of fish, and he delivered an exceeding abundant, above all you could ask or think, bounty of fish, much more than Peter could bring his mind to imagine. He said, the Lord said to Peter again, to let down your nets, plural, but Peter only let down one net, singularly. Well, the Lord knew the bounty he'd prepared for Peter couldn't be contained in one net. But then Peter wasn't expecting such a bounty, and he had reasoned in his own mind that really only one net would be sufficient. But one net wasn't sufficient to contain all the fish, as Luke 5, 6 points out. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. In John 2, 5, Jesus' mother had told a lesson that she was taught by Jesus, a lesson that Peter should have learned, that he was now learning also at this point in time. And that lesson is, whatsoever he saith to you, do it. Just do it, okay? That's John 2, 5. If Jesus says to let down your nets, plural, he means nets, plural, not net, singularly. David was probably the psalmist who wrote in Psalm 119, 160, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Thy word is true from the beginning. Peter, you getting this, buddy? Okay. Brother Hawkins, in his commentary of Luke, here wrote, "This is the catch which Jesus promised, but it was only a type of the greater spiritual draught available to all who are willing to launch out into the depths of God's grace and let down their nets only because Jesus says it." When the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 4:13, "To give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine," he was in essence saying, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Probe the depths of the Word of God. Steady to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let down your nets for a draught. Launch out into the deep. You remember, I'm through with what Brother Hawkins had to say, but remember the Berean saints of Acts 17? We could say, and Kevin would appreciate this, they were Bible thumpers. They were exceptional Bible students, and they followed the instructions that Paul gave that we just read in 1 Timothy 4:13 and in 2 Timothy 2:15. And in Acts 17:11, we find that these Berean saints, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. May they be a testimony to each of us to search our book daily, our scriptures daily. This searching the scriptures is what makes believers good Bible students. Further, this searching the scriptures daily is what makes believers full overcomers. How do you know if the preacher is telling you the truth? You need to search the scriptures for yourself to see if these things are true. The preacher that the Berean saints heard was the Apostle Paul, and they still checked the scriptures to fact check him. Is this true? Well, maybe we should be that diligent ourselves. The word searched here in verse 11 means to investigate, to examine, to inquire into, to scrutinize, to sift, to question, to hold an investigation. Such is the more noble frame of mind that was found in Berea. They investigated the scriptures daily, whether those things spoken by Paul were really true. The Berean saints attained to God's best. Those that have God's best during this church age will be in the bride of Christ. Those who are alive at the soon coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will be in the bride of Christ, are pictured by the Philadelphian church of Revelation 3, 7 through 13. Turn to Revelation 3 for a moment, because there's two ways, or several ways, we learn by our senses. We learn by what we see. We learn by what we hear. We learn by what we taste. We learn by what we feel. We learn by what we smell. Those five senses that the Lord gave us. If it smells like rotten eggs, it's probably not good to be eating it. In other words, you know, we learn that by eating rotten egg one time, you know. In Revelation 3:8, it says this, and so you're going to learn this by hearing it, and you're going to learn it by seeing it with your own eyes. Revelation 3:8, Jesus is speaking to the church of Philadelphia, and he says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast, what? Kept my word, and has not denied my name. How can they keep something they didn't even know? The word of God, they'd searched it. They knew it. They've kept my word. Jesus emphasizes the fact that the Philadelphia saint knows the word of God, and even more importantly, has kept the word of God, and he makes note of this fact twice here in Revelation 3, in verse 8, thou hast kept my word. And in Revelation 3:10, it says, thou hast kept the word of my patience. These are high watermark statements made by the Lord concerning the New Testament worthies of faith, the Philadelphia saints. Okay, now back to Luke 5. We mentioned last week there's a lot of lessons contained in these 11 verses of Luke 5. And I want to give you a couple more thoughts found here in Luke 5, 6. Luke 5, 6 again says this, and speaks of them casting the net over. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes that their net break. Now, we might not yet realize this here, but the fact was Jesus was preparing Peter to become one of the great kingdom apostles. And we'll get to that fact a little more later on as we continue getting to this midnight Bible story of Peter. But think about it. Peter later would preach to great multitudes as a fisher of men. Here in Luke 5, 6, one lesson Jesus was teaching Peter was not to fear great multitudes, not to fear great multitudes of fishes, nor great multitudes of people. How many people were there present when Jesus got on his ship and he launched away from land a little ways? It had to be a multitude. Kind of a fearful sight, maybe. So as a fisher of men, Jesus was preparing Peter for the great multitude of souls he would give him. And of course, men's souls are of far greater importance than any fish, and that goes without saying. It was just as easy for Jesus to send multitudes of people Peter's direction as it was to send a great multitude of fish Peter's way. Another lesson Jesus was teaching Peter here was to follow closely Jesus' instructions. Had Peter followed Jesus' instructions to let down your nets for a draught, Peter and the rest involved here would have had a much easier time managing the huge haul of fish Jesus had given them. The net began to tear as it reached its maximum capacity because he had so many fish there that the net wouldn't hold it. But again, Peter seemingly was caught by surprise by the far more than he expected bounty the Lord had already provided. Now, I want you to ponder this next thought in your own mind for a while and see what the Lord gives you for an answer. But had Peter let down his nets as he was instructed to do by Jesus, would he have caught more fish? Well, there's probably a greater probability to catch more fish if multiple nets had been used. But then there's a line of thinking that came to my mind. Well, okay, Peter, you're not going to follow instructions. I'm still going to give you that bounty of fish. I'm just going to cram it all in one net, see how you deal with it. Think you learned anything from that experience? Again, these fish would have been better managed had several nets been used. And when the singular net began to break at the weight of fishes it contained, there was potential for some fish to escape, but we do not read that they lost any fish. So obviously, Jesus put all of the fish they were to catch in this one net. And keep in mind here also, Peter had not asked Jesus for any fish. Had he? And gone fishing saying, oh, help me catch fish. I've done that. But I might have caught some and I might not have. But the focus should be on the Lord. What does he want? It was the Lord who wanted Peter to have these fish. And it was the Lord he wanted Peter to learn these lessons he was teaching him here. And in Ephesians 3:20, We read that Christ is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And that power speaks of the Holy Ghost. So Peter was taught this lesson here about the exceeding abundant above all we might ask or think. You can imagine such a haul of fish. And one of the greatest lessons Peter began to learn here was that Christ is the master teacher, and that Christ was also the captain of Peter's ship. Who's the captain of your ship? Luke 5:7 says this, "And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink." That's a lot of fish. And again, this great haul of fish would have no doubt been better managed had Peter let down his nets. But nevertheless, several lessons were learned here. And another lesson learned here was that you can believe the words of Jesus. In John 6, turn there, in John 6:67, we'll read a few, couple verses. John 6:67, this was a few months later, after Peter and the 12 had followed Jesus for some time. Jesus asked them in John 6:67, he says, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." So these words of grace and truth and eternal life were more powerful and more important to Peter now that he had better learned to listen to the Word of God, who is Jesus. Near the end of his life, Peter wrote something in 1 Peter 1:24-25, and he quoted from Isaiah 40:8, and then he added his own ending in 1 Peter 1:24, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." Yes, Peter in time learned to believe the words of Jesus, for they indeed were the words of eternal life. I don't know if we'll have time to complete this or not, but we'll try to finish our thoughts from Luke 5 now, starting in Luke 5:8. When Simon Peter saw the great multitudes of fish, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, we see here a level of growth in Peter as he was encouraged of the Lord to fear not. And when we finally get to our midnight Bible story of Acts 12, we will not see any more fear manifest in Peter. In fact, if you read that story, he was in Herod's prison, and he was going to be put to death. And he was sound asleep when the angel came. There wasn't any fear there, was there?
No.
Okay. But here in Luke 5, Peter exhibited some fear when he confessed, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Note, in verse 5, Peter had addressed Jesus as Master, and in verse 8, Peter now addresses Jesus with a much stronger term, that being Lord, which means supreme in authority or controller. We've identified it today as captain of my ship, okay? In other words, Peter now was bowing to Jesus as the supreme one. And from this point forward, Peter allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to be the captain of his life. I think I'll let it go there this morning, because I'll just get all tangled up in something else that I won't be able to finish. And we can start from here next time, Lord willing. Hope you got something out of this today.